Well, good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
In that, at this time, please silence all your electronic devices so that we can prepare for our service today as we listen to Diane's musical prelude. What a great way to start out the new year, listening to that great music. Well, again, welcome to everyone. I hope everyone had a safe and joyous New Year's Eve. And that I had the opportunity to be at top of Casper Mountain, snowshoeing on top of the mountain last night at midnight. And I can tell you that, number one, when we turned our headlamps off, that it was really dark up there. But once you got adjusted to it, you could look up and see all the stars that were up there last night on the deal and how great that appeared to be and what a great gift God gave us for that. So call your attention to announcements. I'm not going to read them all. They're on the blue sheet in your bulletin. Elders meeting tomorrow at 6:30 here at the church. Look forward to seeing all the elders there at that meeting. Also, Property Commission will meet at 6:30 p.m. And anyone, young, old, woman, or man, or just kind of crazy, can join that commission because Cal would appreciate any and all help that's available for that. A reminder to everyone that we will undecorate the church next Sunday, right after service. So next Sunday, right after, plan to help take down the Christmas decorations. It's always kind of a bittersweet time. We've enjoyed the season and it's time to move on, but it's disappointing that the season is over. Are there other announcements? Doesn't appear to be. A reminder, if you would please fill out the friendship registers that you'll find in the pew on the center aisle. I did not say that. If you want to take a poinsettia, please pick it up after the service in that. So I guess if you come up during intinction and you really want one, you can take it at that point in time, but we'd prefer you to take them afterwards. So. At this time, let us stand and greet one another before we sing our opening hymn, number 469.
Christmas?
I did. Yes, they were. It was so wonderful. Yeah, that's what we found there. It's really good. It's the best thing I can ever get for your presents. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'll come back and see you later.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, yes.
Let's get her on. Join me in the call to worship. Praise be to God, creator of time and space,
who has set eternity in human hearts,
who gives us today in which we can be happy and do good,
today in which we can eat and drink and find satisfaction,
today, which is a gift from God.
Let us worship the one who makes everything beautiful in its time.
For everything God does will endure forever.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. O gracious God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come at this time of celebration of a new year. We ask you to be with each and every one of us and fill our hearts as we go forward with this year with the love and the caring that you have given to us all. We ask you to be with those who are not here with us today if they're traveling for safe travels, and we ask you to be with those who are unable to attend. We ask you to be our strength and our leader in our lives as we go forward. And let us remember the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today is on an insert in your bulletin. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Worship this morning, so I'd like to invite Kylie and Blake to come on down. If there are any other little ones here, they're invited too for children's time. I like your snow boots. Are those new? How cool, they even light up. And your sisters have pretty fur on them. Hi, Reese. I think this might be your first time to walk all the way down for children's time. We're so excited to have you. Did you guys have a good Christmas? Yes. Was it fun? I heard that Reese got a lot of presents, but Mommy and Daddy had to open them for him. Next Christmas, he'll figure out how to rip into the packages. I bet you guys didn't need any help, did you? You opened them all. You shredded them all. If you can do me a favor today and stay after worship, we have some more presents to open. we had some people who brought presents to the church, and we need help unwrapping them. So Blake, can you kind of help with that? They're downstairs by the tree. Okay. So I'll meet you guys down there for fellowship time. You know, every Sunday leading up to Christmas, we talked about our creche, our nativity scene, and a different character was added every single week. And finally, baby Jesus appeared on Christmas Sunday. He was hiding, and here he is. But there is still someone who is part of the Christmas story who isn't here yet. Any ideas who might be missing from our nativity scene? I'll give you a hint. There are three people who travel together. What do you think? The wise men. They're going to show up next Sunday. They're actually on their way. If you look real carefully, they're partway here. They've been traveling a long time to visit baby Jesus. And next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Epiphany, which is a special time in the church when we remember the three kings and their gifts. Have you ever heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? You know, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge and a pear tree. That song is actually a coded telling of the Christmas story and the Christian faith. The partridge and the pear tree represents baby Jesus in the manger. And there's meaning behind every single part of that song. The two turtle doves are the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that tell us about Jesus. And the 12 drummers drumming are the 12 apostles who followed Jesus. The 12 days of Christmas are the days between Christmas and Epiphany, which is celebrated on January 6th. So I want you all to help me count, okay? I'm gonna say dates and you guys can hold up your fingers and we might run out of fingers. We might have to have help counting, help each other, okay? So December 25th is Christmas and then we start counting. December 26th, if you got one finger. December 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, that was New Year's Eve. January 1st is today. 2nd, 3rd, 4th, we've got 10 fingers up. 5th and 6th is two more. That's 12 days. It's 12 days from Christmas to Epiphany when we celebrate the coming of the wise men. It actually took them a lot more than 12 days to get to baby Jesus. But that's how we mark it on the calendar. So make sure you're here next Sunday and we'll talk about the kings. How about we have a prayer together? Thank you, baby Jesus, for being born on Christmas. Thank you, God, for sending your son. Thank you for the joy of this season when we celebrate your birth and we reflect on the gift of new life at the beginning of a new year. Bless all of your children, O God. And in Christ's name, all God's children said, Amen. Thank you all for coming today. Bye, Reese. Step down. Big step. Yay. That's a long walk when you're a little guy. Our prayer concerns are listed on the back of the bulletin. As we lift these up, I have some additions to our prayer list. I would suggest that our card shower this morning be directed to Brent and Kim Forbes. Brent's mother, Maxine, whom we've been praying for quite some time as she was living with cancer, went to heaven early this morning. So I ask your prayers of comfort for Brent, for Kim, for Brent's brother, for all of their family as they mark her passing and remember her life. It has been a hard journey in recent weeks as she was at hospice. The family was able to spend a great deal of time with her yesterday. And though she couldn't speak at that point, I'm sure she knew they were there and were comforted by their love. So we pray for comfort for their family. We continue to pray for others who are in treatment for cancer. We are glad that Matthew Trott is back home in Casper after having been life-flighted to Denver for internal bleeding. He continues to battle cancer and is surrounded by the support of the firefighting community here as well as the love of his family who care for him so much. Warren Wallace continues to be about the same. Our prayers are with Martha and David and their family. The missionaries we're praying for today include Martha Mincinic, who serves in Japan. And our regional prayers this morning are for Lou Champ, who is the pastor at First Christian Church in Sterling, Colorado. He'll have surgery tomorrow. And for our regional moderator, Reggie Chapman, who is out of the hospital. We continue to pray for healing for him. Are there others today that we need to lift in prayer or joys that we want to share? Michelle. Prayers for Tyler's grandpa as he's at the hospital. Prayers for all of those who are traveling over the holiday season. Prayers of safety as people continue to celebrate the new year. And blessings on our nation in the coming months as a new administration takes place. Let us turn now to God in a time of shared silence as we pray together. God of new beginnings, you are with us in every season of life, in every year, in every day, in every moment. You are present with your people. We pray for your guiding wisdom to be with those who will mark new beginnings this year. And we pray for the grace to let go of things from the past that might hold us down. Help us to forgive. Help us to be bold by your Spirit to let go of what is wrong and seek what is right. Holy God, we pray for healing. For those who struggle with physical and emotional and mental dis-ease, we ask for your comfort and your strength. Be with Matthew and others who are living with cancer. Surround Warren with your peace. And we pray, O God, for your healing for those who grieve this day. We ask for comfort for Brent and all of his family. We thank you for Maxine's life, for the love that she shared, the joy that she gave, the faithfulness she showed in you. We thank you, Holy One, for the gift of eternal life. And we pray for all of those who have found in you eternal peace and an end to suffering. Lord, we lift to you prayers for Martha and the work that she does in Japan, for missionaries around the world, for those who witness to you, especially in places where it is difficult to proclaim the gospel. Watch over Lou and Reggie and bless them with healing and bless the ministries that they lead. We pray for Tyler's grandfather as he's at the hospital and others who need the gift of health this day. Holy One, for all the new beginnings before us, we give you thanks and pray for courage. For all that is behind, we also give thanks for the past year of blessing and struggle alike. For those who have had a good year, O God, we give you thanks and praise. And for those who have known heartache and pain, We pray that the coming year will dawn brighter, that they will be blessed, and through it all, we will know you. In the precious name of your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. You can find this in your Pew Bible on page 616. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to be pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of their toil.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the book of Revelation. In your Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 259 of the New Testament. I'll be reading Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Holy One, on this day of new beginnings, as we mark the start of a new year,
we are reminded that you are the source of all that is new. You are present in all that is old. Surprise us, O God, this year with your gift, your call, your new life. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. 'Tis the season. It's a phrase we often hear this time of year. 'Tis the season at Christmas to give gifts and be of good cheer. 'Tis the season, perhaps 'tis the season for colds and flu, for overindulging at a New Year's Eve party. 'Tis the season for all sorts of things. Growing up, my mother loved Christmas. The Christmas season at our house always began on the weekend of Thanksgiving. The turkey happened on Thursday. And then on Friday, when Dad was off work and the kids were out of school, we headed up to the mountains to cut a Christmas tree. Sometimes it would go up that very weekend and be decorated. Other times it sat in the backyard in a bucket of water until Mom was ready to put it up. But soon the house would be filled with the scent of pine. Perhaps a ponderosa with long needles or a little more scraggly, lopsided, scrubby pinon pine. Christmas lasted as long as it could. Somewhere in the middle of January, no matter how carefully that tree had been watered, it began to drop its needles. And that's when Mom decided it was time to put away the ornaments. I think if the tree had lasted longer, she might have left it up even longer. That's how Charles's mom was. They had an artificial tree. Growing up in Phoenix, it was a little harder to get a fresh pine close to home. His mom decorated the Christmas tree like something off the cover of House Beautiful. Homemade ornaments, perfectly spaced, arranged meticulously with care. Charles said he remembers when he was a kid, Mom would leave up that tree not just till New Year's or January, but February sometimes. He said it got to where he was embarrassed to bring kids from school over around Valentine's Day because the Christmas tree was still up. The season lasted a long time. This year, Charles and I had a Christmas tree up for the shortest period either one of us has ever experienced. We were out of town at Thanksgiving, and so didn't get around to putting up the tree then, and I was kind of busy with church, and he was busy with work, and so finally, just a week or so before Christmas, on my day off, I marched out to the alley and chopped down a mystery volunteer evergreen that was growing outside of our fence. It was pretty prickly and pokey, but I hauled it in with great determination, gave it a big drink of water, and hung a few very small, delicate ornaments on the spindly branches that tended to droop with one tiny bauble added. It was a cute little tree. It held up about one string of lights. It didn't take me long to figure out that what I had brought into the house was not a pine, but a juniper of some sort. You know, they don't have needles. They kind of have those little scaly leaves. Well, I always liked junipers growing up. They're pretty in the mountains. I had never had one inside the house before. I seemed to get a head cold about the same time I put up the Christmas tree, and I didn't automatically make a correlation between the two. After all, 'tis the season. Everyone gets a cold before Christmas. I started doing some research. I learned that there are over 50 species of juniper. Some have a very high allergen count. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you're allergic to juniper, the male tree has a rating of 10. It got to where I could walk in the back door of our house, which is 3 rooms away from where the Christmas tree was located. As soon as I opened the door, I smelled that juniper. It wasn't exactly a pleasant, welcoming, piney scent. It was kind of evergreen-ish, but my nose would start to twitch. One night I said to Charles, "Do you smell that?" And he said, "No, what are you talking about?" I said, "The tree." He walked over to it, buried his face in the branches, and went, "I guess I can smell it," he said. This year we took down our Christmas tree on December 26th. I have never put up a tree so late and taken it down so soon. It was a fun experiment, a cute little Charlie Brown tree, and gave us a bit of Christmas. But it was okay for me to say farewell to what I learned was a, quote, stinky juniper. It's the actual vernacular name of the type of tree I brought into my house, a stinky juniper. It was a fun experiment. Never before had I accidentally grown my own Christmas tree, and I think perhaps never again. 'Tis the season. 'Tis the season of celebrating Christmas. For us as citizens of the world who follow the Western calendar, it's also the season of celebrating the new year. It's hard to read some of the words from Ecclesiastes without thinking of New Year's Eve parties. For there is little else on the earth, the teacher writes, than to be happy and enjoy themselves, to eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. To eat and drink is surely a way of marking the coming of the new year. Some families have traditions of certain meals you fix on New Year's Eve or certain beverages you offer to friends. Perhaps for some, that's part of why our pews are a little empty this morning. Or they may be preparing for another New Year's ritual, the annual NFL festival that begins this afternoon. A different kind of religion for many to practice as Americans, celebrating the new year by watching professional athletes show their prowess and skill by knocking one another silly. Happy New Year. 'Tis the season. The book of Ecclesiastes was written neither at Christmas time nor at New Year's, yet it surely speaks of the change of seasons. Traditionally, it's attributed to Solomon, the great king who, when God offered a blessing, asked first and foremost for wisdom. The name of the book in Hebrew comes from the word Koheleth, a name or a title that means the gatherer or the teacher, the preacher, the giver of wisdom. Koheleth from Hebrew is translated into Greek as Ecclesiastes. It's a self-titled book simply telling us, basically, here are words of wisdom for you to ponder. Of all the wisdom in this book, some of which seems poignant and perhaps even pessimistic, the passage from Ecclesiastes 3 is the most beautiful. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. That simple statement, that beautiful poetic introduction to the chapter, is followed by 14 pairings of different things that happen in the time of human life. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. Throughout the list, there's almost this dichotomy of a rhythm reminding us that for everything there is a time, for the good and the bad, for the easy and the hard. It all happens in the span of a human life. And there is a time for it all. Ultimately, the giver of wisdom reminds us that it is God who rules over time, God who marks the seasons. It's not surprising, therefore, that in the Middle Ages, the churches were the keepers of time. In many European communities, the business market ran on the time of the church bells. It was common practice for abbeys and monasteries to ring the bells every hour to call the monks to prayer. And so the cities that grew up around those great European cathedrals marked the passing of the day by the ringing of the bells. It wasn't until the 1500s that city clock towers began to rival churches in those great European cities for their tall steeples and visible prominence. Interestingly enough, it wasn't even until the 1700s that minute hands were added to those clocks. Initially, time was simply marked by the hours of the day. And then, as commerce began to take a more prominent place in society, each hour was divided into smaller increments. In our society now, in a digital age with modern technology, we can measure not just minutes, but seconds and nanoseconds, if you're a scientist or an information technologist. Measuring time in some way helps us to achieve greater efficiency, to be more aware of what God has placed before us. And yet time itself is not something that we can control and hold on to. It is something that is a gift from God. And there is a time for every matter under heaven. What season of life are you in as 2017 begins? Are you a new parent or an aging grandparent? Are you in a relationship that has lasted for decades, or are you testing the boundaries of a new friendship, a new important connection in your life? What season of life are you in? Are you in a healthy season where you feel strong and able to achieve so much? Or have you known a time of illness or struggle or fatigue? What season are you in as this new year begins? And what does that teach you about the presence of God in your life today? It is fairly simple, according to Ecclesiastes. There is nothing better for all people than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Those words follow right after this list of pairing the good and the bad: a time to be born, a time to die, a time for war, a time for peace. Through all of that, the ultimate goal is for us to rejoice in the presence of God with us for as long as we live, to eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. What work will you do in the new year for God? Not just for your professional standing in the community or chores around the house or caring for your family, but what spiritual toil is ahead of you this year? Is there someone that you need to forgive? A past hurt you need to let go of? Is there a new insight you're seeking, a new understanding of the presence of God with you? A question that has eternal significance that needs your attention? Will that be your toil in this new year? John, when he was writing from the island of Patmos, recording a vision, a dream, a revelation, also spoke about time. He describes a new heaven and a new earth, when the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. John says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." We often think in spiritual terms of when we pass from this earth, we think of going up to heaven. We think of how we leave all that we know that is familiar, that we can see and touch, and we go to that ineffable, mysterious eternity to live with God. But in this vision of Revelation, it is not we who depart, but God who comes to us. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with us as our God, and we will be his people. God himself will be with us and will wipe every tear from our eyes. Even death will be no more, for the first things have passed away. There seems to be a connection for me in this passage from Revelation and the reading from Ecclesiastes. That list in Ecclesiastes seems to be an either-or, a pairing of a positive and a negative, a joyful experience and a struggle. And in Revelation, there seems to be a both-and, that in the very midst of all of that, of all those times and seasons described by the wisdom writer, is the very presence of God, who chooses to dwell with us, among us. Surely that is the message of Christmas, that God took on human form, that God's own son Jesus took on the flesh of a little baby born and laid in a manger. God chose to come to earth in a concrete, tangible way so that we could in fact see the very face of God. That's the season in which we live. The broadest season that encompasses our whole life is one of knowing that God is with us. For we live in a world to which Christ has come. The work of Christmas is begun. The first hymn that we shared today is based on a poem written by Howard Thurman that speaks about the work of Christmas, when the star no longer shines, when the shepherds and the magi have found their way home, the work of Christmas has begun. It doesn't matter how long we leave up our Christmas decorations past Epiphany, or if we move a stinky juniper out of the house on December 26th. Once Christ has come into our lives, we are living in the season of knowing that God is with us. Throughout this coming year, throughout the rest of our lives, we are invited to live in the season of walking with God and letting God walk with us from now until all eternity. May it be so. Amen. Ecclesiastes tells us to take pleasure when we eat and drink, whether it's a simple meal and a cup of water or a great festive celebration. The sustenance for life itself is a gift from God. Take pleasure when you eat and drink and do the work you are called to do. The work of Christmas has begun. We're invited to the table to eat and to drink and to ponder the season in which we live. This morning we'll share communion together by intinction. You're invited to walk down the center aisle, tear a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup, and partake. If you prefer not to walk forward, one of the deacons will serve you where you're seated. As you come, please bring your tithes and offerings and prayer cards. Let us sing together our communion hymn, number 168, Down to Earth.
Thank you.
It's a marker of the seasons, to put up a tree and to ring in the new year. It's a marker of the seasons of our lives, to come to the table again and again to be fed. And here to remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life and death, his birth and his resurrection, until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Grant us, O God, the spirit, heart, and mind to be grateful as we come in prayer to this communion table. Thank you for the food of this week and for this opportunity to partake of the spiritual bread and cup in the name of Jesus. May we sense your presence, O God, in the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup, and in our prayers of renewal and dedication. Guide us through this coming week. Amen.
There may be someone here this morning who knows you need to make a new change in the new year, and that involves your relationship with God. If you have been falling behind in your faith, take this opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior again or for the first time. Dedicate yourself to God and walk with him throughout 2017. If anyone is looking for a new church home, we officially welcome members by confession of faith and baptism or reaffirmation of faith and transfer of membership. If you'd like to give your heart to God or place your church relationship here at First Christian, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, O Thou Joyful, number 169, the first two verses in English. Been spiritually fed. I hope you're physically hungry as well, because there are lots of donuts downstairs. Our snacks outnumber our people, so I hope that you can stay, enjoy a cup of coffee or orange juice, watch the kids rip open the Christmas presents for the church, and enjoy a time of fellowship downstairs in Fellowship Hall. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of this new year. May we not squander it. May we be mindful of your call to eat, to live, to be in awareness of you, and to faithfully do the toil you call us to as followers of Christ. Bless all your people this day with hope and peace, with love, as we go forth to live and serve as followers of Christ. Amen.